One of the things I love about this morning was how open we can be with each other, how vulnerable in the right way, that we're not trying to be something or be someone. We can be real with each other. And that's the basis of the life of God. It brings out the genuine, the real. And this is the sort of community that people want. Where else can you be yourself? If we're honest, we've been lots, maybe you've joined other clubs, you've been in other settings. How many of those places can you really be you? Or you just put on the right hat for that particular occasion? I think in life God's calling us to have just one hat. And that's a challenge, isn't it? And I think the guys I read about in the Bible, they just wore one hat. They were one thing. They were about one thing. Wherever they went, whatever day it was. I've got a few bits and pieces here that'll be for people this morning. The first is from Deuteronomy 28. And it talks about the blessings of obedience and the curses of disobedience. And when we read the Old Testament, we need to understand Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everybody who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the nations, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. We need to understand obedience is significant, but it's not the reason you and I can live in favor today. Amen. It's the result of favor, isn't it? And my intention is just to draw out a small part of this. And so often in Christianity, we get messages that only ever talk about blessing. And if you're not blessed in every area of your life, there's something wrong with you. That's just junk, right? But this passage on blessing shows the will of God for you and for I, and actually for all humanity. Listen to this little image here. I don't know if any of you have pets at home. The proper sort of pet, you know, with a tail. Listen to this, Deuteronomy 28:13. And the Lord will make you. Say, the Lord will make me.
The Lord will make me.
Okay. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail.
That's good.
And this paints a picture of how your life is going. You see, the difference between the head and the tail, there's lots of differences, right? The head is the bit that sets the course of that dog. The head tends to be lifted up, and the tail comes along for the ride. Do you think the tail has any say about what happens in that dog's life? I mean, it's an illustration of when it's happening. The tail is dragged along. And this passage is powerful. God is saying, I came to set you back into control. Nobody said amen.
Amen.
Still true. Yeah. You see, being the head means in life, you are the one who sets the course day in and day out. And while in our hearts, of course, Christ is the head, isn't he? But neither are we being, many Christians let God be the head and they're content to be the tail. And whatever happens in life, they go along. That is not the message of the Bible. God has called you and I, he set us in place in order for us, with his wisdom, with his presence, with his leading, 100% actually with him, to live life where we are setting the course of our life. And that doesn't mean everything's going brilliantly every moment. A perfect example is the life of this man, Paul. Often he was in prison, physically. But in the prison, he was having conversations And what am I going to do here? He's setting his own course with God. He's not bound by his circumstances. When he has a shipwreck, he is still the head. When he's bitten by a snake, he's still setting the course. And in life, being a tail is the saddest thing of all. And many Christians have abdicated responsibility. We want to act like babies for the rest of our lives. We want God to hold us, to feed us, to nurture us, to change our nappies, to do everything for us. Do you think that's the companions Jesus Christ wants? That's why we're called to grow up into him. And my world and yours is waiting for the manifestation of the children of God. When the children of God stand up and begin to live in their own realms, in their own spheres, as the head and not the tail. And it goes on to say after that, you shall be above only and not be beneath. For I had a word from the worship that God is over all of these things. I 100% believe that word. Is God over cancer?
Yep.
Is God over disease? Is he over sin?
Yep.
The missing message of the gospel is that because you and I have been raised with Christ, our position is never below and always above.
That's right.
Did you realize that? After the cross, the Bible says you shared the death of Christ. You were buried with him. You defeated the adversary with him. You were raised with him. And you ascended with him. All of those things happened. And why are we so quick to identify with the bit that was? Let's live in the bit that we live in today. It says you will be the head only. That's saying 100% of the time. You'll be above only. 100% of the time. And again, it's not that everything's perfect in every moment or you're winning every battle or everything like that. It's simply, it's a fact. It's a truth. It's something that I don't think is well believed. And in our lives, we often come across lots of teaching and lots of ideas that present us being below stuff. Let me give you an example of it. There's much teaching on spiritual warfare out there, which talks about pulling down strongholds. And if we think about that, it's not possible to pull down something that you're above.
Right?
So that teaching can't be true. The fact is, Jesus said, the enemy's under his feet, and because we're his body, that means the adversary is under our feet spiritually. I'm not saying there's not a fight and a battle and a war. Of course there is. But I'm saying we need to start believing the central message of the gospel. We need to really understand that we were called not to identify with who we are as physical human beings, not to build our identity on the circumstances around us or the circumstances in our lives, not to let difficulties name us. Because that's what they do. They put us in a little box. Cancer. You're in that little box now. That's your identity. Don't accept those things.
Yep.
God says you are the head only and not the tail. You're only above and you won't be beneath. And this passage is talking about something called rule or dominion or reign. It's talking about that elusive something that all of us as followers of Jesus Christ, I suspect we believe. Do we believe that we're called to reign in life? Reign as kings in the realm of life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Do we believe that? A few of you do. If I looked at the experiences of my life, I would have to say that verse is false. But since when do we build our lives like that? Amen. Our experiences are never going to be different until in our hearts we decide to set a new course. We decide to be the person God says He's already made us to be. And until you, that's your bet. Until you decide, I'm going to live the word. It's a decision. Many of you are waiting to feel different before you do the things God has told you to do. You will feel different when you do something different. It comes after, not before. So God is saying, time to shift your focus. Time to act like a son of God. Mm. And you'll discover, your enemy doesn't want you to discover this, you'll discover that you do have authority. Mm. And you do have the dominion and the ability of God. Mm. You'll realize that greater is He that's in you than the one who's in the world.
Right.
As long as you're living like a tail, you're dormant. The grace and the gift of God is dormant in your life. You and I have to decide. Faith always has some sort of action attached. And I see many of you taking faith steps. And until you took those faith steps, nothing changed, did it?
That's right.
But when you put both feet into that unknown. Mm-hmm. I came across a book that I remember reading 20 years ago. If you want to walk on water,
you've got to get out the boat.
And I thought, I think that's a message we could all read again, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the issue of reign or dominion or rule is one I grapple a lot with. Yeah? Because we have a vision of what Christianity is meant to be like. But unless you're further on than I, it tends to be something that's glimpses of, but it's not my daily life, if that's the right way of putting it. I'm reaching towards something I can see. I don't know how to get hold of it. Yeah, is it okay to be honest? I hope you're all on that journey. That's the journey of possessing. Those who seek, find. Unless you're seeking something, you'll find nothing. It's up to you what you find in the kingdom. What are you seeking? That's what you're going to find. And here's the sad thing. If all I'm looking for is for my life to become blessed, that's a doomed failure seek search. Because it isn't the will of God for you. It's a byproduct of His will. It is. But it's not the main thing. Jesus Christ didn't die to bless you in this life. That's not His fundamental aim. His aim is to produce Himself in you. And to live through you. And to continue to do the works that we read about in the Gospels through you. That's His aim. And as we follow that aim, we're going to find so many wonderful things happening. And other things might not be so wonderful. In this world, says Jesus, you will have tribulation. Don't stop there, though. That's not something to write on your fridge. But, however, what does it say after that? Be of good cheer. What? When it's in tribulation? Mm-hmm. Be of good cheer. Why? See, you all know this. Jesus is saying you can be cheerful because He's already beaten every situation you're in or ever will be in. That's why it's called good news, which is great joy for all people. Duh. I'm going to throw this out. Ernie kind of sparked this in me because he was talking about the same thing at men's group. If you've got a Bible, it's Romans 14. And it's almost like a throwaway comment here. You know, when you're listening to a message, sometimes the person's talking about one particular thing. And sometimes they just say sort of one comment that doesn't, it's not part of the flow of what they're saying necessarily. But it kind of, oh, and it makes you go dig. Yeah? You ever heard that? This is a passage about liberty, about love, about being a blessing to those around you, being careful not to be a stumbling block to other Christians just because you think you've got all the truth and you think you're amazing. If you think that way, you're not going to be a blessing to many people, I can tell you right now.
What? He's looking at me.
Verse 17 Children. And 18, listen to this. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For the one who serves Christ in this way or in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. That sounds like a fantastic recipe for a life that has a wonderful relationship with God and a life that those around you, it's talking about the unsaved. They approve that. Because lots of what we present to people who are not saved, they do the opposite of approve, right? Because it's sour grapes or baptized in lemon juice or whatever it is. It hasn't got life, it hasn't got joy, it hasn't got reality. And so people don't want it. Well, I don't want it either. Verse 17. The kingdom is literally, it just says, the reign of God. Come on, guys, pay attention. I see some of you drifting just now. You need to hear this. The reign of God. Or the rule of God. That's the business of being the head and not the tail. You see, Jesus is the ruler, the one who reigns. And it's his reign in your life and mine. It's not my reign. It's not my amazingness. It's me understanding that I am in a place to partake and to use his rule and his reign because he himself lives in me. The kingdom of God, the reign of God, is not about external things. Not that those are unimportant. But it gives three foundations here. The reign of God, being the head and not the tail, requires three things, at least. The first is righteousness. You see, righteousness, the Bible says, is the scepter of his kingdom. It's the ruling staff. The fact that you are righteous today makes you your enemy's master. The righteousness that you have means you're acceptable before him and your prayers are powerful and effective. It means you have divine influence with the King of Kings. You have it. The rule of God is exerted through prayer, through confession of the word, and it's based on the fact that you have a right to do some things. Did you know you're authorized to make disciples of all nations? Did you know that? When you're given a commission by your boss, you have a right to do what you've been told to do. You have an authority. You are authorized to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You are authorized to cast out devils. You're authorized to speak in new tongues, in whatever way that may be. Speaking to someone often in a way that they can understand. It's not always divine tongues. So righteousness, really powerful. You have that. It's the gift of God. The next one is peace or completeness. The Old Testament word is shalom. Peace, completeness, wholeness, freedom from lack. It's just a beautiful word. And the peace of God is something in our lives that acts as oil in the engine of our hearts. Have you noticed that when you're stressed, when you're trying to exert authority, when you're just stressed out, you're trying to rev an engine without oil. Oops. Peace of God. Again, it's his gift. He is your peace. It's his peace in your heart. It's that peace that's independent of circumstances. That is one of the things that allows you to rule. You see, fear undermines authority. And that's why Paul said to Timothy, what did he say? You've not received a spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, love, soundness of mind. Those are the things that are ours today. The third one, joy in the Holy Spirit. What do you think about that?
Amen.
Joy in the Holy Spirit is a foundation of the kingdom of God. And the beauty of that is, it's really simply joy in the presence of God. David said the same thing. In your presence is fullness of joy. That is a secret in life that, man, I wish someone told me about that so many years ago. Because the counterfeit to the joy of the Lord is the pleasure of the world. And when joy is absent from your heart, those are the times you and I find ourselves vulnerable to the pleasures of the flesh, the temptations of our past life, those things we're already dead to. When the joy of God fills your heart, those things aren't a temptation. Because you have the real thing. I want to finish with Galatians 2. This is Paul speaking, the man who knew how to set a course in life. Galatians 2. It says, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So when we look at this man, his identity has changed 180 degrees. No longer is he Paul, the murderer of Christians. This man's identity is Christ. He says, to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. This was the secret of Paul's life. He no longer regarded himself as important. When he went to minister, he didn't rely on his own ability. He knew that Christ went with him and that Christ worked through him. It's my ability to disregard who I am that makes me useful to the King.
Yes.
I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the body or the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. You see, faith is directed. Often our faith is based on recipes. We heard somebody else give a testimony of how they saw a breakthrough. And our faith goes into their testimony, into their recipe. Right? Come on, we've all done it. Christian recipes, yeah? The life I live by faith in the Son of God. And here's the beauty of it. Faith isn't even anchored in someone up there who's not present in my life. He just said, Christ lives in me. So his faith is based on the Christ in him. Can you see that? Your faith is centered right here where Christ is. And everything we read about in the Old Covenant. You know when God revealed himself to his people? Through those covenant names? Jehovah Rapha. The Lord my shepherd. Come on, shout out a few more. The Lord my provider. The one who sees and literally sees to it. The Lord my healer. What does it mean? I think it means the Lord my banner. That's it. Or victory. These things we've read about in the Old Covenant. The beauty was none of them were drawn from God by anybody. He chose to reveal his nature. Every one of those names, you should go and look them up. Every one of those names represents the will of God for your life. This is what he wants. The Lord who is present. The Lord my sanctifier. The Lord my shepherd. The Lord who is peace. The Lord my righteousness. Hello? All of those covenant graces of God are centered right there where Christ lives. You have him. You have every one of those things. Christ the healer means Christ is my doctor. And we need to begin to acknowledge the one in us. You see, he's always, always ready to meet you in your point of need. He is. We might find seasonable grace or grace to help in time of need. If you need healing, he's not present in your life as the Lord. Well, actually, these things interlap a lot, don't they? If you think about them. The Lord, my provider, that contains healing, finance. What about the Lord who's present? That kind of contain. You should think about these ones and understand that Jesus Christ has promised he is every one of those things in your life today. Everyone. And so the will of God is contained in the same way in these wonderful covenant names. The Bible is one book, my friends. One revelation, but it changes. We get glimpses of it. And through the cross of Christ, the revelation shifts forever. God lifts us out of what was and brings us into a new realm and a new creation. And we can look upon the things he's done before, but we stand in the presence of God. Right? That's what righteousness means. The ability to stand in his presence without shame, without unworthiness. These are the enemy's seeds. None of them are true. I know I need to stop now. We're going to break bread together, my friends. If two of you could pass out the emblems, yeah? And as we come to break bread together, if you pass those around, that'd be great. We're going to finish by a bit of an acknowledgement. So the point of the word is that we do something with it. And there's various things that have been presented today. I want you to think about, who do you need God to be for you today? Because understand, that's actually exactly who he is towards you today. So when we break bread, I want you to acknowledge. I don't want you to pray or ask or beg. I don't want you to rehearse the problems in your life. I want you to acknowledge who he is in that situation in your heart today. For an example, if you're stressed out and there's no peace in your life and you're just anxious, and simply acknowledge and thank you, Lord, today. I acknowledge you as the Lord who is my peace. That's all you need to do. Acknowledge him. Recognize him. See that he's there. And it's that acknowledgement that's putting faith in him, right? We put faith in him, we acknowledge who he is, and we see the results of who he is in our lives. Grace, or rather faith, makes grace a reality. So as we pass these around, let's spend a few moments. We acknowledge you today. We acknowledge your truth. We acknowledge your reality. We acknowledge that you're the God who sees, the God who sees to it also. And I thank you, my God, that you have promised for every person in this room. You've promised that you are their covenant-keeping God. Lord, we thank you for the blood that you shed, so much like that first Passover as they left Egypt, Lord, so many parallels. We acknowledge the blood on the lintel of our lives, Father. that makes us impervious to works of darkness. We acknowledge, Lord, the bread as we take it into ourselves as they did. That bread is life for our bodies. It's the children's bread. As we acknowledge these things today, my Father, you confirm your word with signs following. And today, Lord, we thank you that you are the faithful one, the covenant-keeping Lord. You're the one who so much wants to help us be the head and not the tail. You're the one who wishes to remind us of our position in you, and you in us, that we only are above and not beneath. And in the name of Jesus, we proclaim freedom, liberty, joy, peace, health, strength, vision, and direction. Declare the enemy's works at an end in Jesus' name. Bow the knee. Amen. To the name of Jesus. So guys, take these together. Remember, as you're doing these things, acknowledge the Christ, the one in you. Put your faith in him afresh. Roll your concerns upon him. Leave them with him. Trust him with them. Thank him for them. And find in your life the steps that will lead you into those things. Mm-hmm.